The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Religion. Who needs it? I mean, in the space age, with Mars landings and lunar landings and space probes and politics and a presidential year, who in the world needs religion? Every time I think about religion, I think of the word chaos. I think of the word division. I think of the word confusion. I think of the word war. I think of religion, I think fighting and killing, such as in newspapers where I see these incredible scenes of people standing over machine guns in the streets of Lebanon, or perhaps Northern Ireland, where people are going at it with guns, knives, bombs, and the like, and these people are called, in the caption, you've probably seen it, Christian gunmen in Beirut. You know, all the things that have divided humankind from time immemorial are still with us today. And one of the major dividing forces which keeps human beings apart are different points of view, different ideas, different philosophies about what we are, why we're here on this earth, whether or not there is a God. If so, what color is he? How big is he? Where is he? How many arms does he have? How many navels? Or how fat is he? What does he do for you? Or what about your ancestors? What happens when you die? And people have thousands of differing, conflicting beliefs and opinions on these and other subjects. And so because those opinions conflict, they hate one another. In North Ireland, here are people who supposedly believe in the same Savior, because that falls into the bracket of the Christian. You got to put caps around that or quotes, because you don't really know what that means until you get into the argument about the differences in the so-called Christian organization. But they believe in a person called Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and they are Protestants and they are Catholics, and they hate one another. And they're going about the business of throwing bombs in pubs or in busy streets and in shopping centers, or perhaps blasting the life out of unsuspecting women and children. There have been babies in cribs and carriages that have been blasted to bits by bombs thrown supposedly by Christian folk in North Ireland. Now, Lebanon, in our recent months and years, has been absolutely ripped apart by what they call civil war. That's nothing more than religious war. It is a religious civil war based upon religious differences between Muslims and Christians. In this case, Christians who probably would be fighting with other Christians if they were in the Western world in some other nation where their politics may differ, whether or not their religion is somewhat similar. So when you look back in the history of this world, you've got to realize that the aged, time-honored, shop-worn, yellow, dog-eared old excuses as to what divides the human race, tribalism, chauvinism, politics, differing colors, language barriers, these were the traditional dividing points of the years gone by when transportation was much more rudimentary, when communications were practically non-existent. Then, of course, it was the continents, the oceans, the mountain ranges, islands, and so on, the confluences of rivers, various, you might say, geographical or topographical barriers that divided the human race. But today, with a breakdown of many of these barriers because of the rapidity of travel, the ease of international global communications, and to some degree at least, the lessening of the color barriers, and to some degree, although that is now beginning to reverse itself, the lessening of political differences in parts of the world and the tendency of the English language to become a universal language, you would think that some of the basic elements that have divided humankind, that have meant that man simply cannot live at peace with his fellow man on this or that continent, whether it's Africa or North America or Europe, would long since have become redundant. We could dispense with those. We could get on about the business now of creating that kind of happy utopian world community in which mankind could live at peace. But no, the same old problems that divided human beings back before the days of Noah are still dividing human beings today. And at the root and the core of all of this is religion. The religious overtones in much of life are simply impossible to ignore. And I know a lot of people are looking very, very askance at the religious aspects of presidential elections. They want to know whether a man is a Catholic, Protestant, or Jew. They want to know if he is this or that bracket. Well, exactly what does his church stand for? If it's a different church from some of the voting constituency, they may be a little uptight, a little excited, a little worried. Well, now I wonder if his religion would affect his politics. This has always been so. Traditionally in the United States, the religious overtones could not be ignored. Way back in history, if a man was a divorcee, the chances were that he would be just about out of it so far as any political potential is concerned. That's gone by the boards because some of those mores have toppled. Some of those old principles have fallen by the wayside. But still, the religious overtones are there in practically everything that goes on in the world today. Now, you know, in the last century, I guess we should say, there have been maybe three very basic attacks against religion, against the Christian religion, to call it by its broadest general terms. The first attack probably would have been the growth of international communism. Well, let's go before that, because perhaps chronologically, the first attack on the Christian religion would have been the idea of evolution and the threat to biblical authority, which began in perhaps about the turn of the century, the early 1900s. Darwin's theory, the growth of science, and so on, that began to attack religion, the famous Scopes trial and the like, you remember. The next great attack upon the Christian religion, so far as the entirety of the world is concerned, would have been the growth of international communism, the swallowing up of literally millions upon uncounted millions, I suppose a few hundred million people, into the communist orb, who are then basically hopelessly lost, so far as the Christian cause would appear to view it, because of a loss of access, simply loss of those people's minds to a completely anti-Christian, anti-God philosophy. Next is the growth of science and technology itself. In a space age, a nuclear-armed age, a lot of people say, what's religion? It doesn't satisfy people, and I can understand why, especially if you look at some of the traditional ceremonial religions of this day. Here's a person with the hard daily choices of running a business in a runaway economy, of stifling recession on the one hand, and of runaway fantastic spiraling prices and skyrocketing costs for everything, inflation on the other hand. And he is meeting the hard day-to-day choices of keeping life and limb together, a family together, of crime on the streets, of unbelievable, unacceptable taxes and the like. And he is a practical individual that has to make practical decisions. Is he going to go sit in church and listen to some of the most utterly impractical, hypothetical theories a person ever heard? An awful lot of hard, practical businessmen just can't see any real hope in religion, and who can blame them? The guy they talk to at lunch sounds like a man. The guy they listen to on the weekend sometimes doesn't. But the religious overtones of this world in its racist, its political potential for the explosion into war, into even nuclear bomb war, must not be overlooked. Usually when you see the problems of the Middle East, it's viewed in the backdrop of the problems between the Israelis and the Arabs over there because of the reluctance of the Israelis to go along with Resolution 242 of the United Nations, which says that the Israelis must withdraw to the pre-1967 Six-Day War borders. You hear about charge and countercharge with regard to the Palestinian refugee problem. You hear about all the political problems, the economic problems, but primarily you hear about war and the acquisition of territory, the reluctance of the Israelis to give it up, and all of this type of thing. You never do seem to hear the fact that here is the major religion of Judaism, which now occupies the religious capital of the entirety of the world, which figures very prominently in Bible prophecy after prophecy, of Christ's famous Olivet prophecy in Matthew 24. It's parallel in the book of John, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, Luke the 21st chapter. And you will find that the Bible is a book about Jerusalem. It views the entirety of the world from Jerusalem, geographically, ethnically, historically, eschatologically, meaning prophetically, that it looks out at the rest of the world from the point of view of how all of the machinations of humankind, all of the governments of the world, relate to the Middle East. Now here is the major religion of Judaism, which now has in its control the city of Jerusalem, which is the world's capital of religion, to three of the major religions of the world, the Muslim religion, the Jewish religion, and the Christian religion. And in the newspapers, when you hear the problems between the Arabs and the Jews, you almost never hear of the overtones of religion. And yet there are deep-seated hatreds because of that very thing. So those elements which divide the human race are almost always, not bereft at least, of some religious influence. Sometimes they are directly religious, and sometimes they may be indirectly religious because many political bodies have their outgrowth from certain religious precepts or concepts, and some of them, as you hear them orating away, it's very difficult these days sometimes to tell the difference between a politician and a preacher. But religion in this scientific age, the nuclear age of Mars probes and lunar walks, I mean, who needs it when you stop to think about it? People speculate about what their religion does for them, what it ought to do for them. Where does religion come from? What is it? What is this intangible thing called religion? A study of the history of man's religions will reveal that religion has been the prime shaper of all which we call civilization. It's been behind art, literature, the very style of living, of the way we do things, of what we are. And as you look into the backdrop of religion, you cannot separate the history of humankind from the growth, the development, the metamorphosis, the schisms and the breaks and the split-ups, the fights and the wars that have had to do with religious philosophy. But as you look around the world today at all the differing religions, I don't know whether what comes to mind when you look at it is the same as when I look at it. As I look around the world and I think of that which divides humankind, I think of the word religion, and then I think of the word chaos, division, and then I think of the word war. And then I wonder, why in the world should those words go together so easily, religion and war?
In today's world, too many people must get a job before they learn to develop their talents. Many have to resign themselves to their existence with not enough money for the home, car, or vacation they want. And so it goes even in the larger sense of world news and conditions. You learn to accept the unacceptable because you're only one person. What can you do? But if you're one of the many who often becomes frustrated over an article or broadcast about one injustice after another, you want to know, what can you do? The World Tomorrow program is involved with people and answers which are directly related to people. If you want to know more, request the free booklet, Come Help Humanity. It explains the organization behind this radio program, what it is doing and why. Come Help Humanity briefly explains the history and present involvement of the church, college, and individuals doing this work. Get involved. Request Come Help Humanity. Dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444.
The subject about religion in this modern age of ours, in which the potential for a nuclear bomb war is always present, where we seem to be hanging on that nebulous brink of the war which must not be fought and the peace which cannot be achieved, is, I think, one of the most essential ones. As I look at what happened recently in Entebbe, as I see some of the racist statements along the Afro-Asian lines of voting in the United Nations, which I call the disunited non-nations, and feel the big building on the East River in New York looks more like a gravestone that says, rest in peace, I have to realize that various forms of religion, tinged with overtones of racism, are still those elements which seem to perpetually color the opinions and the points of view of leaders in high places who have at their fingertips the potential to send this world plunging into the greatest chaos the world has ever yet seen. And if you look back in history, you cannot fail to be impressed with the lesson that a lot of fanatics who had various great beliefs that is so egotistical, and so egomaniacal in their own hearts about their own status, their own position, their own place in life, what they were destined to do, that it's scarcely believable. Now, you don't have to go very far back in history. You don't have to go to the Hundred Years' War, or World War I even. You can go to World War II and take a look at characters like Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. Mussolini standing in his balcony, pushing his chin out there and telling everybody what an incredible, great, wonderful savior of the human race he was. Hitler, who thought that he was a savior, who preached about a 1,000-year reign. He got that out of the Bible. He could see that Jesus Christ is to return to the earth to rule the world with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. He decided that's who he was. I've met a lot of people like that. People come into the office and they claim they are Elijah, they're Jeremiah, they are Jesus or something, and I say, okay, out, see you later. And I get people mad when I say that because people think I should invite them in and find out if they really are. But Hitler thought that he was Jesus. He really did. He thought he was a savior. He was going to usher in a 1,000-year Reich, and he owed it to you and me to do away with 6 million and more Jews. He owed it to produce a super race by enforced marriages, if that's what it was, between various Aryan, blonde, young, handsome soldiers and girls that he could pick up off the street. They had all these experiments going. And Hitler believed so egotistically, to the point of absolute, utter Well, I call it like being a megalomaniac because I think it's the only word that really suits him. It reminds one of Haile Selassie in his last days. He was under house arrest, the poor man. He was quite elderly. His government had been arrested. There was a complete overthrow. There were hundreds who were being stood up against the wall and shot. I mean, the crackling of the firing squad could be heard around the streets of Addis Ababa. And here's the poor man. He's been there now for years. You know the song, Haile Selassie. We sing it. And if I were as what, as sassy as Haile Selassie, something like that, to the tune of another song. He's been such a figure in world conditions, world affairs, transcending, I guess, two world wars. Everybody knew about Haile Selassie with a chest full of medals. And yet in his last days, apparently the man's mind had kind of gone. He was under house arrest in a home where he'd lived in Addis Ababa. And he still thought that he was over the kingdom. And he was issuing orders left and right to his servants. He'd tell the maid, go move the Fifth Army over to the Red Sea. You know, and he was giving all kinds of crazy orders, because he was still living in his own little world where he thought that he was ruling the nation of Ethiopia. Now, Hitler became an absolute madman, according to all reports, and I have devoured book after book after book on the subject. I think he became a madman before he came to power, between you and me, but perhaps there were scales of madness into which he disintegrated finally toward the end, to where he was doing practically the same thing. He would go into blind screaming rages against his own generals. He would order them to stand on this front or the other when the front had already disintegrated. He was ordering armies into war when those armies had already been absolutely exterminated. Now, this type of an absolute idiot has been responsible because of his personal self-worship. His religion, in that sense, was utter adulation, adoration, and worship of himself. And he plunged the world into a bloodbath the likes of which we have not seen in all of human history, and we will only see again when nuclear bomb World War III breaks out. You know, you could just send up a prayer, maybe, and pray to God to spare us from would-be saviors in human flesh who want to rise up to become the bright young champion of all that is righteous, holy, and just, and who want to wage this or that spiritual conquest to lead all the rest of us human beings lemming-like over some senseless cliff into some military adventure which is going to result in the extermination of humankind. Preserve us from self-styled saviors, you might pray sometime. Because as you look at religion, you've also got to look at this thing that I call perfect self. And that consists of self-preservation, a very powerful desire in the human mind, of self-determination, the almost bitter, decisive opinion of all of us that we believe in ourselves, we are sufficient unto ourselves, we are determined to govern, to rule over ourselves, to make up our own minds and to go our own way. And so self-determination of the desire to be one's own final authority beats within the breast of every single one of us. And finally, self-perpetuation. So we owe it to ourselves to live forever. It's no wonder that Solomon said in that book of deep philosophy, the book of Ecclesiastes, back in the Bible and the book of Proverbs, where he talked about vanity and human nature, when he said, all is vanity. Well, believe it or not, as you look very closely into some of the religions of this world and some of the practices of various religious fanatics of this world, and especially even today, as yet one additional despot, one additional megalomaniac like this character over there in Uganda, who I believe is that type of an individual, who is a racist murderer, I will repeat Moynihan's charge before the United Nations. I happen to believe, and I believe that I've seen the documentation and the proof, that Idi Amin is a racist murderer. I would like to repeat that charge, just, you know, to go on record. But I believe the world is seeing a rise of entirely too many men like this in positions of power. We've got too many Castros around the world, too many would-be champions, deliverers, saviors, who get the power of armies, and eventually, in the world in which we live, are going to begin to possess the power of the nuclear bomb. And I see some very serious overtones in all of this, which gets right to the root and the core of what is wrong with much of this world's religion.
For those of you who would like to receive this same type of information in regular printed form, Garner Ted Armstrong invites you to request absolutely free of charge Good News Magazine. This full-color monthly publication is paid for by tens of thousands of readers who appreciate its straightforward biblical explanation enough to underwrite the cost of new subscribers. Good News is a unique magazine. It portrays in easily understood language the history, scope, intent, and meaning of ancient, time-honored biblical writings. Topics range from the God family and resurrection to parables and eternity. From questions and answers to what our readers say, Good News is a rich source of strength and inspiration. If you'd like to learn more about what Garner Ted Armstrong has to say on World Tomorrow broadcast topics and many other subjects, be sure to request Good News Magazine. Your copy is free of charge. Good News Magazine. Dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444.
I hope you'll dial right away the toll-free number to request your copy of the Good News Magazine. Now, this is for people who don't mind getting into some pretty serious biblical concepts and topics, because it has to do with Christian living. What the world needs now is hope, is one article in here. Articles about the Bible, articles about the soul, about whether you go to heaven when you die, what happens after death, whether or not salvation is a Christian retirement plan where you roll around heaven all day with nothing to do, or there's something more in mind. About the second coming of Christ, Bible prophecy, the time schedule of events exactly as he outlined them, and real meeting straight from the shoulder, biblical type articles in the current number of the Good News Magazine. Update on exactly what my father is doing, as oftentimes he is traveling to meet leaders of world prominence, including kings, prime ministers, and so on, and talking to them about the message he has to bring. So write for the current number of the Good News Magazine, or better yet, pick up the telephone and dial that toll-free number right now while you're thinking about it, or at the conclusion of this program. It's 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444. Or in California, Alaska, and Hawaii, you should dial area 213-577-5225. We'll send it to you absolutely free of charge. We'll get it in the mail as quickly as we possibly can. As I've said so many times, I'm a little suspicious about religion. I could never, and this is just digressing for a moment maybe, have swallowed some of the formal religions of this world. My religion, I happen to believe, is the religion of the Bible. Now, I know I'm getting a lot of argument out there about that, because a lot of other people believe they have the religion of the Bible, and they may know a little bit about what they think I believe, and therefore they think that there is some loggerheads of disagreement there, and they say, I believe I'm going to heaven, Garner Ted doesn't believe he's going to heaven, therefore we believe differently. I say that if you were to read the Bible just like you would read any other book, and not put a lot of your own opinions into it, and not let it be colored by what other people have always taught you, not let it be, in any sense of the word, interpreted by some so-called self-styled professional that tells you he thinks he knows what it means, but just read it for yourself the way it is, and I think you and I would believe exactly the same thing. But back to religion as a philosophy of life. Religion can only be that which is necessary to the human being if it answers the basic questions we all wonder about. We wonder about the origin of things. We wonder about creation. We wonder about immortality. We wonder about what is life. What is this thing, this human being, and this brief passing existence that is all too soon gone? Like it says over the bar, you know, wie ist zu soon alt und zu late schmart. By the time we get to be 40, we think we know just about enough to have really had a ball when we were 16. And all of a sudden, you're looking into retirement and fixed incomes and all the problems of old folks, because people develop a pot and the hair begins to fall out and they think life is over. And so somebody comes along and says, no, you're wrong. Life begins at 40. Fine, I'm with you. I hope it does begin at 40. It ought to begin at 80. It ought to begin at 100. It should never stop. But these questions about where we came from and what are we and is there a God and what is man and why are we on this earth and where are we going and what is in the future? And if we die, what then? And for that matter, what is death? If your religion does not answer in a pragmatic, a suitably technical, scientific, practical sense, I don't mean ethereal guesswork, I don't mean hazy notions, I don't mean something you cling to like a baby rattle or a teething ring, I mean something that is so practical that if you're a used automobile salesman and other honest ones, I guess I'm sure there are somewhere, that you could be an honest one and you could actually have a religion where you wouldn't dare turn a speedometer back. And you would not say that the car was owned by a little old lady from Pasadena unless you knew the little old lady from Pasadena. But that your religion would answer questions for you, would be a practical guide by which you could live, that it would solve problems for you, it would answer the really big questions, it would give you that ultimate security of knowing what lies beyond. Most people's religion just does not really solve those problems for them, except in a kind of a hazy way. Now, to me, to answer the questions, the imponderables of religion, I've got to go back to the basic beginning. I've got to find out whether or not there is a God. That, to me, is first. And if there is a God, what kind of a God is he? How big is he? What color is he? How long has he been? Is he the architect of this universe? Did he create? Is he something inside of you? Is he the good in human beings? Does he exist in plant life? Is he found in the niceness of human nature, some people seem to believe? Is God love, and love is God, meaning it's a kind of an ethereal, nebulous thing that you can't see, but you just sense, experience, etc. Like people claim you can't write it up, you can't technically analyze it, you can't take pictures of it, but we know love exists. Therefore, we know God exists. Well, God, in his word, says that he challenges us to prove whether or not he exists. And he said, you can look at the things he made, and then you can find out whether he, the maker, is really there. Can you have a creation without a creator? And is what you see with your eyes and your physical senses a creation anyway? The answer is yes. This universe is gradually running down on the one hand, but there is a remarkable sustaining force at work on the other hand. Life only comes from pre-existing life and from pre-existing life of the same kind. Therefore, there had to be a life giver. Creation is here. There had to be a creator. Laws are here that work upon you. You cannot get around them. They are absolutely inexorable. They are absolute. They have to do with library tests. They have to do with laws, with the mixing of chemicals and everything that goes on in science. They are known quantities. There had to be a lawgiver. It's just that simple. Once you prove that there was a God, you have to prove whether or not the Bible is his word. That's step one, step two. Then if you prove the Bible is his word, why don't you just pick it up and read what it says? There are millions of people in this world who don't believe Jesus when he said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Now, you don't need to interpret that. You don't need to think that means for a little while, because it isn't what he said. So I say that if you believe the Bible, you would believe like I do that you don't go to heaven when you die. You don't have an immortal soul. It's a fact. I believe those things. That when you die, you're just like the old dog Rover who died and died all over, and you are awaiting a resurrection, which is what the Bible says. You would believe in the second coming of Christ. You would believe in a whole series of prophetic events which revolve around the Middle East and Europe, which are going to lead toward it. I say, if you believe there is a God and that the Bible is his word, you and I would believe exactly the same things if you just read it the way it really is, instead of the way somebody else tells you it is. Well, we're going to be covering some of these cherished biblical misconceptions in future programs, some of the ideas people have that they think they got out of the Bible, but they didn't read it. In the meantime, write to that book that I showed you on what is a real Christian, and also the current number of this Good News magazine that does have real straight from the Bible type articles and reading. And I think you're really going to get a surprise, because you'll find much of the straight kind of talk that you'll hear on this program in the pages of the Good News. It's free of charge, of course. All you have to do is to pick up the telephone right now and dial that toll-free number, 800-423-4444. 800-423-4444. And by the way, next time, I hope you'll have a Bible handy, or at least a pencil and a piece of paper. You can jot down some of the statements I'm going to give you and check up on me and find out whether or not I'm telling you the truth. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Garner Ted Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Or you may dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444.